Hello and welcome to the Veterinary Secrets Podcast. My name is Dr. Andrew Jones and this is episode 10. In today's episode, I'm going to discuss how to naturally treat your dog for bladder control problems, discuss the very disturbing story about the Texas veterinarian who killed a cat with an arrow and posted the picture on Facebook, a new weight loss treatment, and then I'm going to broach the subject of pet euthanasia. 10 guidelines for helping you decide when the time is right. Now Veterinary Secrets is on iTunes. You can go to iTunes and search for Veterinary Secrets. We're also on Stitcher. You can download the Stitcher app and search for Veterinary Secrets or go to stitcher.com/podcast/veterinary-secrets. I would definitely appreciate it if you would subscribe to my podcast and leave a review. You can do so on iTunes or Stitcher. Questions or comments, feel free to post a comment on my blog at veterinarysecrets.com/blog, or you can send me an email, and that's at podcast@veterinarysecrets.com. Now let's get right into today's podcast. Bladder control problems. Primarily, this is a problem which is affecting our dogs, occasionally cat. What are the signs? Your dog is waking up in the morning with a puddle of urine beside her. She may be dribbling urine when she walks. What are the causes of incontinence? It's important to differentiate incontinence, which is defined as involuntary urine leakage, from behavioral urinary issues, submissive urination, simple lack of house training, territorial marking, or anxious cats or unneutered males, or the senile loss of house training from canine cognitive dysfunctions. Animals may urinate in the house voluntarily, and obviously that's different from incontinence. You know, really watch your pet closely to be really clear. I mean, are they involuntary leaking urine, or do they wake up in the morning, you see that puddle of urine, and they have no consciousness of it? Then we're looking at incontinence, where it's completely involuntary. There are a number of different important causes of incontinence. Most of these are ruled out with or with a urinalysis and urine culture. The urinalysis reveals the cell type and exactly what is in that urine and can let us know if there really is a bacterial infection or not. And from that, the bacteria can be cultured and sensitized. So we can perform a CNS culture and sensitivity on it and determine exactly what the problem is as far as infection and the most appropriate form of treatment. Most cases of incontinence are due to infection of the urinary tract, or known as UTI, urinary tract infections, excessive consumption of water. You can have these weak bladder sphincters, and that's probably the one we're most geared towards discussing today, especially when we're making reference to the holistic options, which I'm going to discuss at the end of this section of the podcast, and then spinal cord disease. A little bit about bladder infection or bladder infections in dogs. This is a common cause of urinary incontinence in female dogs of all ages and in geriatric cats. The condition is usually pretty easily diagnosed. We're looking at a urinalysis. Your veterinarian's going to examine that in the clinic. Typically, they're going to have taken that sample with something called a cystocentesis, where they're actually putting a needle within the bladder wall itself. They're taking a urine sample, having a look at that. Then after that, they may or may not do a culture and sensitivity, where they're going to send that off to the lab. They're going to try to grow the bacteria that are present, determine what antibiotics need to be on. Obviously, if your dog or cat is diagnosed with UTI, they need to be treated appropriately. Excessive water consumption. Some animals drink so much water that their bladders just simply overflow. You know, you've got this too much water is going into them. They just can't control that water consumption. In terms of determining if that's a problem, even when your veterinarian first does a urinalysis, they may see very dilute, almost white urine. And that gives a pretty good indicator. Also, you as the pet owner are going to be watching that. You're often going to see your dog just drain that whole water bowl. See your cat draining that water bowl. You're going to see these huge amounts of urine within the litter box itself. So that gives you a pretty good sense your dog or your cat has excessive water consumption. What are some of the causes of that? It's also known as PUPD. Diabetes, Cushing's disease, hyperthyroidism in cat, bladder infections, which we talked about, and kidney failure. Weak bladder sphincter. Aging, obesity, reduced sensitivity of neurologic receptors in the sphincter, and probably other factors all contribute to this condition, which is a very common thing, up to 1 in 5 affected of spayed female dogs. And in particular, this is also known as estrogen responsive incontinence. So this is most treatable in terms of holistically treated form of incontinence in our pets. And the one that I'm going to focus on, especially at the end of today's podcast. What I wanted to discuss first is some of the lesser known or discussed conventional treatments, especially as we're sort of dealing with incontinence itself. And in particular, so you have a better understanding of sort of everything that's out there in terms of now now you've got a better understanding of what is incontinence, what are some of the more common reasons for incontinence, what you should first do if you see that your dog or your cat is incontinent. Here's some lesser known or discussed conventional options. Surgical therapies. Medication works for most patients with weak sphincters, but when medication fails, there's some surgical options to consider. The one in particular I'm going to first discuss is called Kolpos suspension. It's for females only. It's the most commonly performed procedure. Here, the vagina is tacked to the bottom of the belly wall and trapping and compressing the urethra. In one study of dogs that had failed on medication, there was complete resolution of incontinence in 53% of dogs with this procedure. An additional 37% became less incontinent, and 25% of those without full resolution gained complete incontinence when therapy with another veterinary medication called phenylpropanilamine was added. Collagen injections, the newest therapy. In this procedure, an endoscope is inserted into the urethra, and several injections of collagen, the same kind used for cosmetic injections in people, are deposited. In a study of 40 dogs who had failed to become continent on medication alone, 27 became continent for an average of 17 months. Furthermore, 10 dogs that experienced only partial improvement after the procedure became completely continent when oral medication was added, even though medication alone had been ineffective. This procedure can be alternatively be performed with medical grade collagen, with Teflon, which does not last as well but is apparently considerably less costly, or with a reconstructive product called Acell. Unfortunately, at this time, there are few facilities that perform this procedure as cystoscopy is required. Now let's discuss some of the natural or holistic options. First, night water restrictions. In this point here, I'm never encouraging you to restrict water access, but once they've gone throughout the day and they've just gone down, they're going to bed, then that's a time to consider, okay, only consider putting down a small amount of water at night, but allow free access to water for the rest, complete rest of the day. Supplements. There's some glandular supplements and help your spayed female dog produce more natural estrogen. These are generally known as raw gland concentrates. One product available at health food stores is called Female Caps or Solaray. The dose is a quarter of a capsule per 10 pounds of body weight daily. This can be tried for 30 days to see if it is effective. Plant estrogen. Soy isoflavonones are a great source of estrogen. These can be purchased as an extract under the brand name Genista. The dose is a quarter of a capsule per 10 pounds of body weight daily. Use this for 30 days to see if they are effective. Flax is another great source of plant estrogens. The dose of flax is 1 teaspoon per cup of food fed daily. Back injuries sometimes can put pressure on the nerves that control the bladder. So what you can do is hold your thumb and index finger and locate the dip between the vertebrae and either side of your pet's backbone. Press straight down for 2 seconds, then release. You can start at the middle of the spine and go to the tail. What we're trying to do here is essentially a form of massage, helping move the spine, keeping it flexible, and release any excess pressure on the nerves. Acupressure. There are acupressure points that control the bladder as well as influencing the adrenal glands. The acupressure points I would have you focus on are the ones that are located right at the tailbase, right at the sacrum, right at the end of the lumbar vertebrae. So we're dealing with lumbar vertebrae L5, L6, L7, S1, S2, S3. For your all intents and purposes, we don't need to know the exact positions, but what you need to do is lift up your dog or your cat's tail, and you see right there at the base of the tail, right where that tail sort of kinks in, right where it's attaching to the pelvis. That is called the LS area. So that's the lumbar sacral area. And that's the area that we're focusing on. And you don't need to know all the exact points, but what you do need to know is that's where the primary nerves are coming from that are then innervating the bladder and playing a big role with bladder control itself. So what I want you to do is start just up above, about 2 or 3 vertebral spaces just above the base of where that tail kinks down and joins the pelvis. Put your thumb and your index finger, or your middle finger, your index finger on either side of those vertebrae. You want to indent the skin just enough. So you're going to push into the skin, but not hard, not just uncomfortable. I'm holding that down for 30 to 60 seconds. And the theory with acupressure is we're dealing with Chinese medicine. We're not, you know, specifically influencing it, you know, such as giving a drug. We're alternating or affecting the flow of energy. So in doing so, what you're wanting to do is, you know, be very centered and calm yourself. Have your dog in a very quiet and calm spot themselves. And you're putting your middle finger, your index finger on either side of the vertebrae, just up above, sort of around L5, L6, the basis of the lumbar spine. Those 2 fingers on either side hold, indenting the skin for 30 to 60 seconds. And you're visualizing that you're putting pumping positive energy through you, through your fingers, and through your dog, getting that energy to flow normal again. So start up there, work your way down right to the notch, and then down to the first couple vertebrae as the tail starts. Go ahead and do that, and do that for a week. See if it's going to make any difference. It may not, but it may. It's sort of one of those really easy, sort of inexpensive ways and very natural ways that you can potentially help your dog who happens to be incontinent. Herbal? There's a herbal therapy which is aimed at helping replace the estrogens that are lost. They're replacing them with plant estrogens. The herbs include oat straw and yams. One herbal formula is oat straw, plantain, nettle, and horsetail. The dose is 15 drops per 20 pounds daily of the tincture. And then when all else fails, like what else can you do? You can consider diapers. They're available from a number of companies in both male and female styles. You may find what will work best in your situation at a couple of different spots. There's one website called petdiapers.com, diapersfordogs.com, puppywraps.com, poochpad.com. I wanted to get into the second part of today's podcast and about that very disturbing story which has been shared thousands, hundreds of thousands of times on social media. It's about this veterinarian from Texas who posted a picture of herself. In the picture, she claims to have killed a cat with an arrow, and she's holding this cat up. Very disturbing. You almost don't want to see it. Right now, the sheriff is seeking animal cruelty charges against this veterinarian who has done that, and they've announced that they're actually investigating it. The name of the veterinarian is Christine Lindsay, and as I said earlier, she posted a photo of her on her Facebook page last week. Since then, she's lost her job. She's been the subject of a campaign demanding justice for the cat. Believe it or not, this cat may have actually been an own cat. She claimed it was a feral cat. You know, she's been widely criticized by animal care professionals, by the American Veterinary Medical Association, by the Texas State Board of Veterinary Medical Examiners. They've been opened an investigation into the incident. And in that picture, you know, this veterinarian, she had worked for the Washington Animal Clinic. I'm in a town called Brenham, Texas. And as I said earlier, it's pictured where she's actually holding up this tabby cat. She posted the caption, "My first bow kill, LOL. The only good feral tomcat is one with an arrow through its head. Vet of the Year award gladly accepted," and she has a big smile on her face. The outrage, immediate and very swift. According to a local TV station, when angry comments started showing up in the post from people saying that she should lose her job, you know, caring for animals, she wrote, "No, I did not lose my job. Push, like someone would get rid of me. I'm awesome." The station posted that report 11:11 a.m. Then 49 minutes later, word came that she was out of a job. Apparently, her employer did not share her belief in her skilledness. The Austin County Sheriff's Department reported on Facebook that their dispatches were being snowed under by calls and pleaded for the public just to take it easy on them. In four subsequent posts, the department went on to say that an animal cruelty investigation was underway and that a number of deputies have been assigned to the case. The Texas Veterinary Medical Association condemned the cat killing. The dean of the College of Veterinary Medicine and the Biomedical Sciences of Colorado State, where Lindsay earned her degree, called the incident deeply disturbing and grotesque. In the meantime, a Facebook page called Justice for Cat Murdered by Kristen Lindsay popped up, which so far has more than 41,000 likes. Comments have been very vitriolic. The administrator pleaded with posters to remain civil and refrain from posts that imply harming or death to anyone. Hard to believe, period, at loss as far as words is what else to add to it. Did she deserve to lose her job? No question. Does she deserve to be investigated? No question. How someone who is a veterinarian can be that callous about animals in particular and post a picture of it. I'm at loss in how some people are actually practicing in the field of veterinary medicine with those types of ethics or values. Fortunately, it appears that she won't be practicing for a while. I wanted to get into the next part of the podcast. More and more information coming up about probiotics, the benefits of probiotics. And there was a Canadian study which found that popping a pill, a daily probiotic pill, potentially could aid to weight loss. This is in reference to people, but also makes sense to draw the same parallels with our animals, especially we're looking at a huge increase in animals that have weight control problems and a subsequent risk increased diseases, you know, such as heart disease, such as diabetes, such as arthritis, as a result of being overweight. But in this Canadian study, those who took a probiotic lost an average of 10 pounds during the 12-week trial. Problem is that you or your pet may be on a weight loss plan, be very strict about what you're eating, not eating, but the pounds aren't coming off for differing reasons. Previous studies have shown that the intestinal flora of obese people differ from thin people, most likely to a diet high in fat, low in fiber. So losing more weight could simply be as resetting the balance of the gut with good bacteria, which is a phenomenal thing to think of. So how do probiotics help? The Canadian study found that popping a daily probiotic pill really did aid in weight loss. Those who took a probiotic containing the containing the probiotic called Lactobacillus rhamnus lost an average of 10 pounds during the 12-week trial. That's more than 4 pounds for those who were on the placebo. The specific probiotic in the study, as I said earlier, was Lactobacillus rhamnus. My supplements both contain Lactobacillus probiotics. They're available for the dogs at thedogsupplement.com and for cats at thecatsupplement.com. Now I wanted to get into the last section of today's podcast. It's a hard topic to discuss and one that I'm frequently asked. Pet euthanasia. 10 points to help you decide. There were many months at the clinic where I had to euthanize just far too many dogs and cats. But generally, they were all for very legitimate reasons. You know, cancer, paralysis, bleeding disorders, end-stage kidney disease, etc. I mean, pet parents, I find, are very, very serious about making that decision. I mean, what do I do or what do I not do? Unfortunately, it seems that more of this can sometimes happen during the holiday seasons. You know, I'm not sure, is this true or not, but clearly it had more of an effect on me. I was often asked, you know, if now is the time. I then always asked my clients questions regarding quality of life, pain or discomfort in their own pet, and how they're feeling. It's not easy. If any of you have gone through this, you know just how agonizing and difficult it is. I'm honored that we have this option with our dogs and cats. You know, I watched my grandmother waste away from lung cancer, only to be given narcotics for the last month of her life just to keep her comfortable. But the point is to respect this right and not treat it frivolously. Here's some things to consider to help you make this serious decision. One, eating and drinking. Is your pet able to eat and drink normally? My dog Hoochie, he was a lab cross. He was a huge food hound. You know, when his appetite ended, I knew the time was soon. Pain. Is your pet in pain often? Ask your veterinarian this. Does the pain control medication help? Is the pain being controlled properly? Activity levels. Is your pet still able to go outside, go for walks? House training. Has your pet lost bladder or bowel control? Senility and aging. Does your pet enjoy interacting with you or with other people, or could she care less? Does your pet have a terminal illness such as cancer? Are you willing to explore all the options for treating the disease, or do you just want palliative care? Are you keeping your pet alive for your own issues and reasons around death, or is this really in the best interests of your dog or a cat? Have you asked a friend if you're making the right decision? Sometimes it really helps to have a third party. Discuss and be aware of what euthanasia is, how it will happen, what will happen with your pet afterwards, such as burial or cremation, and how you're going to get support to deal with your grief. Now, I never felt so low in such a deep sense of loss than my last dog, Hoochie, died. I hope some of this helps you. It helps you sort of make sense of it. And my big thing, which I always discuss with clients, and I recently had this very same question from a former client, you know, what is the time? Like, how do you know? How do you decide? I mean, in part, I have an older dog, Jesse. He's definitely nearing this time. He's having increasing challenges with mobility, but he's still able to get up, go outside, go for a short walk, go to the bathroom. I mean, he still wags his tail when he sees me. He still interacts. But when he loses that ability to get up and go outside, then I know the decision is made for me. Or if his appetite completely goes, he still has a great appetite. I know there's something more serious going on, that decision is made for me. So you have a good sense of what your pet is like, and just really imagine, I mean, what is their quality of life? If you're just keeping them alive for your own purposes, it's not in their interest. You know, clearly be responsible around the decision, but I'm thankful that we're able to have that decision in the first place. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. That was a fairly serious issue at the end, discussing pet euthanasia, but one we need to discuss and need to be aware of. I hope you got some good information about today's podcast. As I said earlier, I'd really appreciate it if you would subscribe to my podcast. You can do on iTunes or Stitcher. If you have any questions or comments, you can post your question or comment on my blog. That's veterinarysecrets.com/blog, or send me an email, and that's at podcast@veterinarysecrets.com. Once again, thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you again next week. This is Dr. Andrew Jones.